Luke chapter 18, and tonight we encounter a man who is in great need. One of the other Gospels gives him a name, Bartimaeus. Luke doesn't name him, but we know that Bartimaeus is blind. Anyone here know personally someone who is blind, physically blind? Yes. Yeah. They are very neat people, interesting people. And I say that not because, oh, wow, they're blind and they're different than than I could see, but because of the way they have adapted to life and can operate in some amazing ways with the various different advances today and the dogs, the seeing eye dogs, the different training they can read with Braille. It's exciting to see how our culture has come alongside to seek and to help those who are blind. I don't think anybody would desire blindness. And I say that knowing that maybe perhaps there are some who have come to realize their blindness as a gift. But I know that me here, I can see. And what would life be like without my sight? I know. Have you ever tried to walk around with your eyes closed? I know that may sound funny. I've done it. I've even done it as adults. I've tried to walk from the parsonage down to my office without looking. I confess that. Yes, you're sorry you missed that. Children, have you ever tried to walk around with your eyes shut? Yes, you have, right? It's kind of a fun adventure to a degree. But you run into problems. You run into obstacles. I know, knowing that I can open my eyes, invariably I open my eyes and just peek a little bit so I make sure I'm not running into something. That little exercise is just a reminder that a blind person is somebody in desperate need of help. They need guidance. They need someone to guide them along the way. Our sight is what helps us to stay on the path, to avoid the stumbling blocks. This individual, this man who is blind, is a man in desperate need. And what Luke is doing is he is introducing us here to this blind man who encounters Jesus. And then the next encounter is Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector. Now, these two individuals are outcasts of society. They are not the part of the cool crowd. It's not the kind of people that you would want to hang out with as far as in these days of Jesus. If you were blind, you were one who had an inability to adapt and live in culture with people, and so therefore you were pushed off to the side. And in fact, that is where we find this blind man. If you look at Luke chapter 18, we look at verse 35, we read, "And it came to pass that as Jesus come near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside, and he is begging." So we realize he is blind, he is on the wayside, he is on the side, and he is begging. On the wayside is that picture of, he's not on the thoroughfare, he's not on the path where everybody else is walking. He is off to the side, and he is begging. He is in desperate need of help. A blind individual during these days was not able to work or to earn his money. So he'd be reliant on friends neighbors or family to meet his needs. And when they were not met, they would be out with the cup, crying out, "Alms, alms, give. Help me, help me." Now, what is interesting is that this man is known by the crowd. They know him. Let's read on, verse 36. "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Again, the Spirit of God inspired Luke to put this here. This account, or something like it, is found in Matthew and also in Mark. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34, and Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Slightly different details, but the same idea. Remember now that just prior to this, we have studied, as Luke puts it here, about the importance of the gospel, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the good news. Why has Jesus come? Yes, Jesus came, and he is king, but he came to die, to pay the penalty of our sin. And so we know that the disciples were longing for the kingdom and were all set for it to be established. Jesus, let's go take the Romans. But Jesus clearly, in verses 31 through 33, lays out a different plan. Yes, what the prophets have said will be fulfilled, but we must not overlook such passages like Isaiah chapter 53, where the servant of the Lord suffers and is killed. The gospel must come first. Sin must be dealt with. Sin must be paid for. One must have a faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith in Jesus Christ means faith that he saves you from your sin. So now we see this blind man in desperate need. He hears the multitude passing by. He asks the question, why? What's the noise? What's the tumult all about? Again, he's a man in desperate need. He needs others to communicate to him what is going on. He is on the outside, yet he can't even look in. He is wondering. He's curious. His ears are working well, though, and you'll understand why. Listen, he understood the name of Jesus. When they told him why all the noise, verse 37, they say that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That term, that name, that title, Jesus of Nazareth, triggers something inside of this man. It triggered within him memory. It triggered within him a realization and understanding that all the murmuring and the talking that he has heard about one Jesus, a miracle worker, one Jesus of Nazareth, that that very one is now coming down the road. Now, let's ask ourselves, let's talk a little bit about why, what's so significant about this. What's the big deal about Jesus of Nazareth? Why would this be such a special opportunity for a blind man? Jesus had a reputation, didn't he? In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." In Luke chapter 7, verses 21 through 22, we read, "In that very hour, he," Jesus, "cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached unto them.'" There was a reputation of Jesus of Nazareth. He was one who did mighty, mighty things, in whom the power of God was evident to the point that even the blind could see. In Luke chapter 7, it also talks about how after Jesus raised a young man from the dead in the city called Nain, we read this in verse 17, "And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about." God has visited his people. Jesus of Nazareth is coming down the road. I am blind. I need help. I know that Jesus can give me my sight. I'm not blind. And yet, by God's grace, I realized something when I was just a young man. I'm spiritually blind. Really couldn't make sense of life, make sense of eternal life, make sense of sin and forgiveness. And it wasn't until Jesus opened my eyes, until God used his word to remove the blinders, that I could see. You know, indeed, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Blindness in many ways is a bondage. And you are in bondage to this blindness. You are imprisoned to it and you cannot get out of it. But praise be to God that the Word of God helps us realize that this is not an impossible situation when you factor in that God loves us. And God has a reputation of giving sight to the blind. Now, in the days of Jesus, the blind were the outcasts. They were not worthy of Jesus' attention or affection. Let Jesus spend time with people who were healthy and well. But Jesus demonstrated something different. He spent time with the sinners, the tax collectors. He spent time with those who were lame, with those who could not see. Because as we're going to hear once again, Jesus says in the context of Zacchaeus in chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." A blind man can't help but understand and realize he is in need. This man cries out, "Jesus!" But he switches titles. You notice that? He doesn't cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." No. Why is that? Remembering this, that the details of the scripture, every single word I believe is important, put there by God. So this title change, Jesus of Nazareth is walking by. That's what the crowd said. Now the man, when he speaks, recognizes something more, recognizes something different. "I have a desperate need, and here comes Jesus, the Son of David." Now, when we read this in English, and we're not involved in the context, that what does this really mean? Well, in the Jewish context, this means Messiah. This is a throwback to what God told David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Son of David is passing by. Jesus. And thus he cries, "Have mercy on me." And the depth of that cry to the Messiah, Jesus, the promised one sent by God, is what brought Jesus to a stop, and Jesus calls him over. Now, before we hear from Jesus, the Son of David, I want to address a little bit more about what that title means and highlight why it's so significant. The gospel writers want us to understand that Jesus indeed is a Son of David, the Son of David. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, we read these words, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and so therefore the genealogy of Jesus, who right at the get-go in Matthew 1:1 is titled the Son of David." In Matthew chapter 21, in verse 9. Now, keeping in mind that the healing of the blind men in Matthew is Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34. What happens in chapter 21? If you have a chapter heading, you will see that you see the triumphant entry. Well, in the triumphant entry, as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem on a donkey, listen to verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We go to Luke, and all the way back to Luke chapter 1. The angel is speaking to Mary, announcing that she would conceive of the Holy Spirit. Who? Jesus. But look at in the angel's announcement in Luke 1, verse 32. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And so he is connected to David. The gospel writers are making these connections for us as readers so that we might realize and see that indeed Jesus is more than just a man. He is the chosen one of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. In verse 3, well, let me just read from verse 1. Romans 1, 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Again, a connection to David. Again, Jesus is the Messiah. Now let's hear from John in Revelation chapter 22. The last chapter of the Bible. And we listen again to the words of Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 16. We read, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Jesus speaking, saying, I am the root of David, that is, I am the creator of him, but I am also of him. I am also his offspring. Indeed, clarifying for us that Jesus is greater than David even, but yet he is connected to David. Jesus is the Messiah. Now, this would have been something that the people who had been raised in Judaism would have heard, would have understood these connections. They were looking for this one. And so in this man's heart, he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Demonstrating that he understands who Jesus is, he realizes his desperate need and that Jesus is the one who can fulfill it. The one to whom, the one who can meet that need. Verse 40 is interesting. I'm back in Luke 18 now. Luke 18, 40, Jesus stood. I take that as he stands still here, and he commands him to be brought unto him. And when he has come near, that is, the blind man has come near to Jesus, Jesus asks him, saying, verse 41, what wilt thou that I shall do unto you? In other words, what is your desire that I do unto you? What is Jesus doing here? What Jesus is doing is providing for this man the opportunity to confess, to state what is true in his heart, what he truly believes about Jesus, the one who stands before him. What is it that you desire that I shall do unto you, Jesus asks. The blind man says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. This man is demonstrating a faith in Jesus by clearly stating that he believed Jesus could give him his sight. You know what? Jesus doesn't ask any more questions. Jesus isn't like so many of us can be and say, well, why? Do you really, really believe? No. And this is what I do love about Jesus. He's straight to the point. Doesn't complicate things. I love what Luke tells us about the thief on the cross. Remember that? We'll get to it. But that there's two thieves, right? One on either side, and one mocks Jesus, and the other says, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus turns to him and says, today you shall be with me in paradise. It's no complicated thing about it. There's a recognition of who Jesus is. And so we see this here, and this is demonstrated by an outcast of society, somebody who the culture and the healthy people would have said, good riddance, pushed to the side, let us at Jesus. We will be valuable in the kingdom, but a blind person, of what value will you be in the kingdom? Oh, dear ones, what a dangerous path. God desires us to keep Jesus at the center. And that is why it is so precious to hear such words from Jesus. What is it that you want me to do unto you? When we come to Jesus in simple faith, we come to Jesus in desperate need. In order, yes, for us to be saved, we have to realize we've got a problem, and that problem is sin. We are spiritually separated from God. Yeah, we are in desperate need. And praise God, He uses His Word to show us that need. And when we recognize that we are in desperate need and we come to Jesus, we realize the Scripture tells us God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. But listen, you've got to understand your need. Jesus responds to this man in verse 42, receive your sight. Another translation of that, and I like this, look up. Look up. Your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight. Look up. I don't know how long this man had been blind. Was it from birth? I'm not sure. But nevertheless, he was in a desperate position. But here he stood before the Son of David, Jesus. And Jesus is asking him, what is it you desire? And you have stated that you will give me my sight. And to hear these words, look up. You know what he had to do? He had to look up. Look up. This simple faith of hearing Jesus say it, look up. Your faith has saved you. In this simple act, this man recognized, there is Jesus. He looked up. What an incredible example for us to realize that God cares about the outcasts. And God wants the outcasts to understand His truth, His identity. This man immediately receives his sight and he follows Jesus. What did Jesus say to that rich young ruler? Give everything up to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. The man was sad because he was very rich. What did Peter say? Well, Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. And indeed they had. And Jesus spoke of reward. But in their following, it would lead to Jerusalem and to Jesus' death, but also his resurrection. And now this blind man, understanding his desperate need, is following Jesus. He can see now. But it's more than just physically seeing. This man has come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the chosen one, the one who grants hope to all people. He's glorifying God. Did you hear that? He's glorifying God. There's no concern of blasphemy here. There's no question of identity of Jesus. How dare you do this? What are you doing? How do you receive this title? Nope. He's glorifying God because he's come to understand the truth, who Jesus is, God. So all the people, as you can imagine, they see this. What are they doing? They are giving praise as well unto God. What an incredible encounter near Jericho. Tonight, we're reminded of the importance of understanding our need. Parents, teachers, we need to help our children understand their need. Help them realize and understand they have a desperate need. That's because they are sinners in the sight of a holy God. They have got to come to the point where they recognize that Jesus is the one who can save them and the only one who can save them from their sin, and they need Him. I trust you've understood your desperate need for Jesus. I trust tonight that God has opened up your eyes and has allowed you to see and to understand who He is. If not, we can talk further about that together. Would love to dialogue with you that your eyes might be open to Jesus Christ. Your fact of hearing this message tonight is testimony that God desires you to hear the truth. Listen, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, of people in this world. But Jesus Christ, He opens eyes that they may see. Amen. Lord Jesus, what a blessing it is to meet this blind man. And someday we will, I believe, get to meet this man in your presence. Thank you for this example. And God, I find this an incredible introduction to the celebration of your Lord's Supper, of a reminder, Lord, of our desperate need of you and how you met that need at the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.